Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time again that we are in the house of the Lord. Amen? The Lord is good. Can I get somebody to say amen? Thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the word. The Bible says the entrance of your word brings light. And we thank you for the mercy of the Lord in our lives. Having received this mercy, Lord, we know that, you know, your goodness and your favor is with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, I want to preach for a little bit this morning. I'm going to start my, there's some scriptures I want to read. This morning, I am preaching on despised of men, but chosen by God. Amen. Amen? Amen? That's right. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. You know, so I've got some text that I want to read, and you pay attention because the Lord is going to minister to your soul here this morning. I'm going to start at 1 Corinthians, and I am going to start at chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Can I get a witness on that? Is there anybody that's saved in the house? Well, let me read that again so that the people can, the who are saved can testify to that verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, that's better. For as it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching, he might save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. You know, that's what they want all the time. And the Greeks, their own is knowledge and proof and arguments and so forth. You know, they seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. And I dare say, resurrected. Hallelujah. Unto the Jews, that's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, whether they be Jews, or whether they be Gentiles or Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, because the foolishness of this world, foolishness of God, so to speak, he's speaking as a man. If you say that even God has any kind of foolishness, which he doesn't, that means even the weakness of God is greater than the strongest strength of men. You know, so the foolishness of the gospel which God has chosen is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh and many mighty people are called. You know. But God has chosen. This is where I'm going this morning. God has chosen the foolish things of the world. The things that are despised of men. God has chosen those things to confound the wise. Can I get an amen on that? And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. And the very base things, the things that are looked down upon, these are the very things, you know, which people despise, but these are those which God has chosen. Yea, even the things which are not, God has chosen to bring to naught the things which are. Well, that scripture is so deep. I mean, I could spend 3 hours preaching on that. But let me put it to you this way. If you're looking at something, you know, just because you see it, and you're not considering that which you don't see, you know, that's foolishness as far as God is concerned. You know, the real wisdom of God, you know, he doesn't care what you see or you don't see. Amen? He just cares what his word says and what the mercy of God is going to do. You know, and he can, you know, take even things that look so great and so forth, he can bring them down by almost nothing. Why does he do all those things? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. This is my message this morning. No flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us in wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Hallelujah. So that, as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that's the background for my message this morning, but I will read some other scriptures as I bring this. You know, why does God do these things? Why does God choose the base things of the earth? Well, I mean, why doesn't he always choose the mighty things? I mean, why doesn't he choose mighty people? Why doesn't he choose? The Bible says, look, you've seen that even your own calling, not the wisest people are called, not the greatest people in the world are called. I mean, you look around the world today, you know, God doesn't always call the brightest and the greatest people, you know, but, you know, he calls whoever he wants. Amen? Amen? And some people that are counted out, some people that are despised and rejected, that's exactly whom God chooses. Amen? Now, why does God do that? And, you know, I'm going to tell you two reasons, you know, why he does it. You know, one, you know, he is able to do it. Amen? He's able to do exactly that. Well, you know, that's, he's able to do that. You know, he can do anything he wants. He is God. You know, if you don't like the way he does things, you can move to another universe. Amen? Praise God. You know, but in this universe, God does things the way he wants. And if you're going to be in this universe, you better get with the program. That's the way he wants to do it. That's the way he's chosen to do it from the beginning. So that no flesh, that's the other reason, so that no flesh will glory in his presence. You know, if God used something that was already great, you know, then they would say, well, you know, it's because of my greatness, you know, and then God doesn't get the glory. So God will go to where something is already rejected. God will go to somebody that's despised. Amen? That's right. He raised the beggars out of the dunghill, set them among princes. That's exactly what he does. Take the solitary and put them in families and do all of these things. And he looks to everyone that is proud also and brings them down, because the Lord is able to do that. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. You know, let's look at Romans chapter 9 and see how the Lord does all of these things. Romans chapter 9. Let me start reading here at verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebecca was talking about, you know, the promise that God gave to Sarah to help back their son and so forth, you know, but he's going to bring out something interesting here. Romans 9 and verse 10. When Rebecca, who was the wife of Isaac, when she had conceived by one, even her father Isaac, she had twins in her body, in her belly. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, but that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Amen? It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, the twins were not yet even born. They were still in her stomach. It's not because one of them had done one thing or hadn't done, or the other hadn't done anything, but so that the purpose of God according to election might stand. He chose the younger above the elder. Amen? Oh yeah, that God does those kinds of things. You know, and he said, look, you know, verse 15, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, some people look at, you know, in fact, the great, you know, in the Bible, there's many examples. You know, you can read the whole story of the book of Jonah. You know, he looked at the people of Nineveh, you know, because those people were unrighteous and they were doing all kinds of evil and so forth. And the righteous indignation stirred up inside of Jonah. You know, I'm not going to read that chapter this morning because that would take too long. But that righteous indignation stirred up in him, and he did not want those people to be saved. In fact, he wanted God to judge them because of their wickedness. So when God sent him down there to go and preach to those people so that they might be saved, he refused. He ran away from the presence of God. Amen. And he told God later, well, I know that you are a righteous God, and I know that this, when I preach to these people, they will repent and you will forgive them. You know, but he said, look, these people are, their iniquity has come to the full. They should be punished. God should not have mercy upon them. So he ran away from the presence of God. Well, I tell you what, you don't tell God what he does and who he's going to have mercy upon. Amen? I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Isn't that sad for a prophet, you know, to think that way? You can read chapter 4 of Jonah. You'll find out that that's true. You know, he ran from the presence of God because he didn't want God to have mercy upon those, because he knew that once he preaches the word, those people will repent and they'll be saved. You know, because those people, their iniquity was so vile in the land, and he wanted them punished. But see, God sees beyond all of that. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. God sees beyond all that stuff, you know, and God knows the secret, how to turn a heart, you know, a heart that may be in sin today and all of that, and all doing all kinds of wild stuff and so forth. God knows exactly how to bring them back. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, he's the great creator. He knows how to do that. Amen. You know, listen to this. You know, he said in verse 16 of Romans 9. So then it is not of him that willeth, none of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. You know, so it's not, look, it's not because you wanted to do it, and it's not because you did it. It is God that showed mercy. Never forget that. You know, amen? The mercy, even every one of you that's sitting in here today, and anyone that's listening to this on a recording later on, it is the mercy of God in your life. It's by his mercy. Never forget that. But it's because the scripture said unto Pharaoh, for this purpose I have raised you up. That's right. That I might show my power and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, what he did to Pharaoh, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's right. So that he can show his power. Well, he said then, you know, he has mercy on whoever he has mercy on, and whoever he wills, he hardens. So the scripture said, well, you say then, you know, well, who then can resist the will of God? Well, you know, we don't worry about that. You just be thankful that you have been chosen as a vessel of mercy. Never mind the vessels of wrath. You know, that's God's business. You know, I have been chosen as a vessel of mercy, and I praise God for that. Hallelujah, somebody. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, so, let me tell you some things, you know, that God, look, the way God looks at this, you know. Things that, you know, when people, you know, there are some things that people esteem so high. You know, people choose, you know, I mean, if we had, I mean, let's say even James talks about this, you know, in James chapter 2, he talks about it. He said, look, when you're in your assembly right now and so forth, if somebody will come into your assembly, you know, wear a gold ring, gold apparel, and nice suit and all this kind of thing, you know, you probably ask him, hey, sit down in this nice place over here, you know, and then maybe somebody, oh, raggedy jeans, comes in, smelly and stuff like that, you probably put him out of there and say, hey, you know, you go sit over there and so forth like that. You know, and then, you know, so he talks about the respect of persons and all of these things, and then he says, look, you guys are just looking after the outward appearance of things. You know, God doesn't care what kind of suit you have on. Amen? God doesn't care what kind of gold ring and jewelry and all of this, you know, what kind of car you drive or what house you live in. All those things are nothing before the Lord. He takes up the house as a dust, the Bible says. You know, the inhabitants of the world are reputed as nothing before him. I don't care if you're a king. I don't care if you're a president. I don't care what you are. You are reputed as nothing before the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. All inhabitants of the earth, they are like grasshoppers before him. They are less than nothing. He stands alone. And by his mercy, he has lifted you up. Give everybody a hand clap here today. Never forget it. In Luke chapter 16, he tells you in verse 15. He says, the things that are highly esteemed among men, they are abomination to God. What are the things that are highly esteemed among men? Title, position, wealth, affluence, and all of these things and so forth. These are the things that are highly esteemed among men. Put up that scripture, Luke 16 and 15. You know, those things that are highly esteemed among men. He says it's an abomination. Abomination. Something that God abhors. Things that people esteem. Accolades. You know, and I got this and so forth. God said, you are nothing. The woman, he strutted his stuff. He said, look, isn't this great Babylon which I have built, and by the greatness of my mercy, of my excellency, and the brightness of my wisdom, and all these things I've done, all these things. God said, I'm going to put you down and let you know that I can make you become like a monkey. Amen? That's Nebuchadnezzar. Read the story. So God made him become like a monkey. He grew whiskers and so forth. He looked like a beast for 7 years until he knew that the Most High. Can I get an amen? Until he knew that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. I want you to know that all the things that people esteem highly, most of the time, they are an abomination to God. You know, and God can look at the things that people rejected, the things that people think nothing at all, and he could take that and make something great out of it. Hallelujah. Because so that he himself alone might have the credit and the glory. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm reading from verses 2 through 9. Just, there's one or two verses I want to read there. I want to point out there, but I just want to read the whole text so that you can get a good feeling for it. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and 2. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed. See, this is the way I'm going. This living stone was disallowed indeed by men, but he was chosen by God, and is precious. Ye also, and ye are just the same like Christ, you know, as lively stones, you are built up into a spiritual house. Initially, you might have been rejected, you might have been counted out, people might have given up on you, but today you are sitting in his grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise God. And I do not frustrate the grace of God. Amen. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Praise God. I just love how the Lord does these things. Now, he said, look, behold, it is written in the scriptures, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. This is verse 6. Elect and precious, sir. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Of course, he's talking about Jesus, the cornerstone, you know. But unto you that believe, so he is precious. To them, therefore, that do not disobedient and so forth, the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. That's right. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, we are told, neither is there any salvation in any other name other than Christ Jesus. And then, you know, the Spirit of God, he brought this out. He said, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders. Amen? But it's now become the chief cornerstone. Praise God. You know, Jesus, you know, at this time of the world, you know, people are celebrating Christmas or getting ready for it and so forth like that. You know, I want to tell you something about Jesus. You know, Jesus, you know, he was born in a manger because they rejected him in the inn. Amen? They won't give him any place. There was no place for his pregnant mother in the inn, you know, and well, because she was poor. See, if she had been one of those wealthy people, they would have cleared the presidential suite or something. Amen. That's right. They would. I don't care what kind of reservation they have. If the real money comes to town, they clear the whole floor. Amen. They will give you your money back plus interest, whatever, you know, because the real man has come to town. Clear the whole floor. I've seen it happen too, you know. So, but this woman, she was poor, she was nobody, you know, a betrothed husband and all of them, poor, nobody, nothing. The donkey and all, you know. Finally, they just found someplace, you know, in the midst of donkeys, on the hay and all of these things, you know, rejected, despised of men. But God chose him to be King of Kings. Hallelujah, somebody. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has given him a name that is above every name. You can read that in Philippians chapter 2. And he'll tell you that God gave Jesus Christ a name. Verses 9 and 11. Verses 9 to 11. That is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, this same Jesus that was rejected, this same Jesus that was despised, at his name, every knee shall bow. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh yeah, I love the sound of that. Every knee will bow, willingly or unwillingly. Every knee will bow to the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. And I have the opportunity and the grace and the mercy of God in my life to make some devil's knees bow in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I've seen a few devils bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. You know, praise God. We see that all the time. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord, he does these things to his glory. Listen to what on the day of Pentecost, Peter told them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. After he preached that wonderful sermon, he said, look, this same Christ Jesus whom you crucified. Amen. Acts 2:36. God has anointed him to be Lord and Christ of all. Hallelujah. The very one that was rejected, that you put on the cross, that you spat on, that you put to shame and so forth. This is the very one that God has made both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. And one of these days, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord, you know, that just shows you, you know, how Jesus, you know, how everything about Jesus and so forth, and how it looked like, you know, he was nothing, but yet, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let me read to you what this woman said. And I'm 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to read Anna's prayer. Something there that she said about, you know, what we need to do or not do, you know, before the Lord. She said, by strength shall no man prevail. Hallelujah. And the Lord, he's the one that can bring down. He's the one that can put down. He can do all these things. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let me read from verses 2 to 10. He says, and then this was Hannah praying. There is none holy as the Lord. Can I get some response in here? For there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. You know, don't come before God and be proud. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him all actions are weighed. So he knows what's going on in your heart and so forth like that. You know, the bowels of the mighty men are broken and they stumbled and so forth. You know, all of those, you know, that stumbled, you know, those who that stumbled, they are guarded with strength. You know, God, you know, he brings down the lofty and he raises up the lowly. You know, he knows what he's doing. Amen. Listen to this. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread, you know, and so on. And they that were hungry eat cyst. The barren born seven, and she that had many children is wax feeble. I mean, look at what God does. You know, he says he sends away, you know, the full, empty. You know, but those who are empty, he fills them. Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing. The Lord killeth them. He said the Lord does the absolute. And he maketh alive. He knows what he's doing. He bringeth down to the grave, and also he bringeth up. He can do all these things. You know, and anybody that is high and lifted up and haughty in his heart and so forth, the Lord will bring him down. You know, the Lord make him poor. That's right. You know, you ever seen some people that are so arrogant and so forth, they lose everything finally, and they come down, they become nothing. You know, but the Lord also make it rich. Hallelujah. He bring it low, but he also lift it up. Verse 8, he raised up the poor out of the dust, and they lifted up the beggars from the dunghill to set them among princes, you know, and so forth. Even among the princes of his people, in Psalm 113, we're told that, you know. And he said, you know, to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of the saints, but the wicked will sit in silence in darkness and so forth. For by strength shall no man prevail. Hallelujah. No man shall prevail before the Lord by your strength. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now let's look at some other examples. We've seen Christ. Let's look at some other examples in the Bible. You know that somehow I must bring David into this somehow. You know. Now, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. That's because I love to preach about David, in case you knew. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, God had told, you know, God had actually, you know, the story went that, you know, Israel wanted a king, you know, God allowed them to put, you know, to anoint, God allowed Samuel to anoint Saul and so forth, but God really didn't care too much for Saul because his heart wasn't right. So God rejected him, and God was going to choose somebody else. So he sent Samuel to go to the family of Jesse and go choose somebody. And Samuel asked the Lord, well, gee, if Saul found out that I was going to go anoint somebody, he's going to kill me. So what should I do? Well, the Lord said, well, just take anointing oil and go there and call a sacrifice and so on. So he went there. So he goes to Jesse's house and calls the elders of the city. So let's read First Samuel chapter 16, and let's read from verse 1. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1. So the Lord told him this thing, and so he said, you know, how can I go? If Saul here, he's going to kill me. And so the Lord said to him, verse 3, call Jesse to the sacrifice, tell him you're going to do a sacrifice, and then I will show you what to do, and you will anoint the one whom I will name unto thee. So Samuel did as the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. See? And the elders of the town, you trembled at his coming. He said, my goodness, do you come peaceably? And all of that. They said, yeah, I come peaceably. Okay. So, and then he said, sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he also sanctified Jesse and his son. So it wasn't just Jesse. The elders, it was a town meeting. The elders of the city, they all came and so forth. Everybody. This was a big coronation party. Somebody was going to be crowned king. But the very one that the Lord was going to choose was not even invited to the party. Hello? That's right. He was not invited. You know, so they invited all of the lanky and hefty ones and all the good-looking ones and everything like that, you know, and then all the ones of stature and so forth. So finally, Jesse, he brought his children. And Samuel, he looked. You know, he told the first one, which was Eliab, to pass before him. And he, you know, he was tall and strong and, you know, and so forth like that. And so, you know, Samuel thought in his heart, said, surely this is the one that the Lord has chosen. You know, verse 7. You know, verse 6, he said, surely this is the one the Lord has chosen. This is the Lord's anointed. When Eliab passed before him. And the Lord said, no. You know, the Lord said to him, look. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. See, you thought, you know, because, you know, he's the oldest or he's the brightest or whatever, you know, that, you know, he will be the one that I will choose. God said, no, I will not choose him. So after that, well, God didn't choose Eliab, neither did he choose Abinadab or even Shammah. He didn't choose any of them, you know. And after that, you know, Jesse brought seven more of his sons. God didn't choose any of them. So he just about wearied out Samuel. So at the end of it all, the all the parade and everything, so finally Samuel finally said, look, that's it. You know, I've had it to hear. You know, do you have any, I mean, the Lord hasn't told me exactly who he wants to choose. He just keeps telling me he doesn't want any of these people. Do you still have somebody else? Hallelujah, somebody. And Jesus said, well, yeah, you know, I've got my youngest child. He's out in the field, you know, the sheep and so forth. Well, Samuel said, well, go get him then. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, go get him then, you know. So, you know, they went and got him. And as soon as little old David came, the Lord said, that's the one. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, that's somebody that was not even invited to the party. That's some, you know, I'll tell you something. In natural terms, generally, the last born, you know, will be favored and so forth, but, you know, not in this case. You know, this man, his heart was to his older sons and all these things and so on. You know, of course, you know, that's how they would choose them to the throne. You know, if they wanted, let's say Jesse had been a king himself, he would necessarily give it to his firstborn and so forth. So he thought, well, you know, my firstborn and all of these things. And no, you know, God refused all of them. And the very one that was rejected, the one that was despised, you know, the one that was doing the job which nobody else wanted to do, you know, they sent him out there and so forth, you know. He was the one that God picked. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, God is able to do all those things. There's a story here in 2 Kings. And I love this story in 2 Kings chapter 7. You know, there's a story here that, you know, God will choose to do something here that is unique and extraordinary. In fact, here's the story. You know, the Syrians have been waging war against, you know, Israel and so forth. They cut off their food supply, they barricaded the city and so forth, you know, and there was a big famine because of that, you know. And so Elisha, you heard me speak about this, comes out one day and says, all right, well, here's what the Lord's going to do. God's going to do this great thing tomorrow. He gives this incredible prophecy, you know, of how God is going to make an abundance, you know, tomorrow in the land. Well, so somebody said, one of the Lord's, you know, special, you know, chief of staff or so of the king said, well, can this thing be and all that, you know, so you know the rest of the story. If you don't read it, I've preached on it before, that's not my subject, you know, so, and the Elisha said to him, well, because you didn't believe, you're not going to eat of it. So, anyway, the story goes that in verse 4, I pick up this story in verse 3, 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, and there were four lepers, or leprous men, at the entering in of the gate. Now, these are people that are rejected. They cannot even be in the city. They have to be outside the city. They are not allowed in because they are lepers. Hello? They're rejected. They're despised. They can't be in the city. They have to be outside the gate. You know. So these four lepers, they said to one another, well, why do we sit here until we die? Well, if we say we will enter into the city, which, you know, take a risk, we shouldn't really go there because people reject us and everything. But hey, there is famine there, so there's nothing there. So if we sit here, we die. Well, let's just go this way and see what will happen. Well, if we go to the host of the Syrians, maybe they'll kill us, maybe they'll accept us, or whatever. So the Lord began to put some things in their mind. But as the story went, these four lepers that nobody thought anything about, that were rejected and despised of men, these were the people, and these were the instrument that God used to confound the mighty Syrian army. Hallelujah, somebody. That's right. Because God can do all these things so that he will get the glory by himself. He can do it. He doesn't need some big army and so forth. He can use four lepers. And what he did was he put it in their mind to go that way, and they started to go and say, well, we can't go backward. You've heard that message on go forward. We cannot go backward. We got to go forward. So anyway, you can't sit still. Can't go back. You got to go forward. So they went forward, you know, and the next thing you know, God makes something happen. You know, these people are coming, just four lepers that are coming. All of a sudden, you know, there's thundering and hoofs of horses and sounds of chariots and running down, you know, and the Syrians are in a delusion. They are hearing all of these things and so forth. That looks like, armies are coming down. And it's just four lepers that are coming. You know. And they say, my goodness, Israel has gone to hire a lot of armies against us. So they began to run for their lives. You know. They ran for all their lives. They left everything there. And then the lepers, you can read all the story. They go there and say, my lambs. Food everywhere. Gold and silver. Everything just in abundance. So they took, they went, they hit some. They came back, they took, they went and hit some. They came, they took. Finally said to themselves, wow, something is wrong with this picture. You know, God has done this great thing for us. Why should we keep it to ourselves? Let's go tell the people in the city. Amen? You know, finally God used four lepers. That everybody had rejected and counted out. God used those lepers as an instrument to bring into pass the word of God. The word which the prophet spoke and said, by this time tomorrow, all of this abundance will be in the land. You know, and nobody's thoughts of how it would be, but God used these four lepers as an instrument in bringing to pass that word that the prophet spoke. Hallelujah, somebody. So when you look at somebody and they say, well, you know, they're not going to amount to very much, you know, because they look rough and, you know, and so forth like that, and they just don't look like they have anything going for them. Well, that's what you think. God, he knows something different. Amen. God is able to take the things that are not. Call them as though they are. And God is able to use the things that are not to confound the things that are already are. He can do all these things. He can take base things, raise them up. He can take high things and bring them down. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And He does all these things so that no flesh will glory in His presence. Praise God. The Bible says in the book of Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, that you might know that it shall not be by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Anything in your lives, any accomplishments that you have, you know, and so forth, it is by the mercy of God. And if you are not accomplishing or anything like yet, and if it looks like your life is not amounting to anything, I want to tell you today, you know, that God has a way to bring the things that are nothing, to bring them up. Amen. And things that are rejected and despised and people write up or give up on, those are the very ones that God will choose. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. You know, I saw that, Saul, you know, he was breathing cruelty and hatred against Christians and killing them and doing all kinds of things and so forth. And he wouldn't have any of that, you know, Jewish, any of that new way stuff in their Jewish religion. He didn't want any part of it, you know, and so forth. But he was the very one that God would choose. Praise God. And after God chose him, people didn't believe it because they kept looking at his past. They kept saying, well, is this not the one that was, you know, killing the Christians and getting all of us thrown into jail? And so, we don't believe anything, you know. But God said, well, that's the very one that I have chosen. Chosen him to be a light among the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I get somebody to say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now listen to this story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 4. Now Jesus, there are many things that Jesus said to the Jews and the Pharisees and the sect and all these people. Told them different things at different times. And he would say some things to them that would cut their hearts to pieces. You know, one time he was telling them a story, you know, of the kingdom of God. In Matthew, before I read this one, let me tell you the one in Matthew 21. In Matthew 21, 42, he was telling them, have you never read that which is written in the scripture? That the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? You know, have you never read that in the scripture? He told them. You know, so, you know, but listen to this story in Luke chapter 4. You know, Jesus was going to tell them, because these Jews and some of these Pharisees and so forth, they always went about thinking that they were the chosen, and they were the this, and they were the that, they were the elect, and they are whatever, you know, they thought they were. And so Jesus, every so often, he liked to tell them these kind of things. Listen to this in Luke chapter 4 and verse 25. But I tell you of the truth, Jesus told them, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3.5 months and there was great famine throughout the land. You might know the story about Elijah, you know. And then Jesus told them, look, there are many widows in Israel, but God did not send Elijah to any one of those widows in Israel. But where did he send him? Say, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, except to a widow in the city of Zidon. Zarepta, you know, in Zidon and so forth, which is outside of Israel. You know, God left all the people that thought they were the chosen, and he went and picked somebody else. Hallelujah, somebody! He can do that because he is the Lord. He can do anything he wants. And so we need to fear before him. And he told them again, he said, look, there were also many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha, the other prophet. He said, but none of them were healed except Naaman, the Syrian. And remember, the Syrians, we just read the story here, how they tormented Israel, how they did all these things and so forth to Israel, cut off their food supply. The Syrians were always their enemies, even till this day. You know, they're always their enemies. Amen? You know, but when God would show his power, you know, and his mercy, many lepers were in Israel. None of them got healed, You know, he took, you know, a leper from Syria. In fact, not only somebody from Syria, he was actually, you know, what you might call the commander of the army and so forth, you know, that went against Israel all the time. You know, and that was the one that was healed. Hello, somebody. What I'm trying to show you today is this. You know, nobody can sit in the place of God and say, this is who's going to get this, or that's who's going to get that. You know, that God has never given that wisdom or understanding to anybody on the face of the earth. He reserves that to himself. And God may choose at any time anybody that is despised, rejected, looked upon as nothing. He may pick that one, and that may be the one he will use. So never look down on anybody, and never look down on yourself, and never let anybody talk down on you either. Amen. Amen, somebody. Don't let nobody talk down on you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I remember once when we first started this church, and some people thought I wasn't qualified to be a pastor and all that. I said, wait, you know. Well, you know, and I'm reminded that God doesn't necessarily choose qualified people.
Amen.
Amen? But he qualifies the one that he chooses. Hallelujah! Praise God. You know, I never went to seminary school. You know, if I did, I would probably have to unlearn all those things. Amen. But God, he knows what he's doing. Praise God. You know, and I tell you, you know, that God, the Bible says, the first shall be the last. And then the last shall be the first. And God, he can choose little old thing, you know. And I've seen that even in my family, my natural family, where I grew up from and so forth, my parents, you know, and so forth, you know. God didn't choose, you know, God didn't choose my older siblings, you know, first. You know, I was the last of many, but he chose me. Praise God. And I was a little old kid that nobody thought nothing of, you know. But listen to this in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, O Bethlehem, amen, though thou be the smallest among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be governor or ruler in Israel, whose goings have been from of old. Hallelujah. The ancient of days. His goings have been from everlasting. You know, the little old Bethlehem, which was discounted, that's the one that brought forth the mighty Messiah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the angels came and sang his herald. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, you know, Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. And that is the city that was thought of as nothing. He said, can any good thing come out of that place? Well, God said, well, you know, that's exactly the place that I would choose. And not only did he choose that small city, he chose the basest place in that small city. Chose a stable, he chose nothing that anybody would even think anything about. You know, hallelujah!
Yeah.
So that he will show that God doesn't choose those things that people think he should choose. Amen. He will choose and he will do as he wants to do for his own glory. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. If you believe that that is true, you can give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. God will choose and God will do what he wants to do at any time. Praise God. Now, those of you that have received his mercy, you are called vessels of mercy. That's what you are. Because God has chosen to bestow his mercy upon you. Not because you deserve it, but because he said, I pick you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, he has picked you. Hallelujah. Oh my, whom God has chosen, let no man despise.
Yeah.
Praise God. Now God has chosen every one of you that is in here today. Because you are not here by accident. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I want you to give the glory to God that God has chosen you. But I want you also, you know, you give glory to God. That's, you must do that. But at the same time, I want you to lift up your head. Don't bow down your head just because somebody said you can't do this or you can't do that. Amen? Praise God! You know, one time somebody, you know, in the book of Luke 15, this man, he went and squandered everything. It's called the story of the prodigal son. He squandered, he did all kinds of evil, riotous living, and he messed his life up and so forth. You know, and the senior brother, the older brother, who had never done any evil and so forth, had done all the master's will and so forth all the time. You know, when this man came back who had messed up his life in sin and so forth, and then the father rejoiced over him, put the gold drink, put the robe, and put the anointing oil, and put the, made the feast and did all of these things. The other guy said, what? You know, amen? But that is what God will do. Amen. Praise God. He can take your life, have been in sin, or whatever, and so forth like that, and he will make you a new vessel. Amen. Praise God. And he can make you a champion of the faith. Amen. You who are somebody people have looked down upon and so forth, God will raise you up. And you begin to impact other lives to the glory of God. Praise God. And when he has done that in your life, do not frustrate the grace of God. Amen? If God has bestowed his grace upon you, do not frustrate his grace. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to look at yourself and say, I thank you, Lord, because I was nothing. You know, he said, you chose me from the sheepcote. That was David. And he made him to be the greatest king of Israel. Clear on till the millennium, Jesus will still be sitting on his throne. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. The greatest king, somebody that was not even invited to the coronation. He became the greatest king throughout all of the history of Israel. Forever. David. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to lift up your hands and give him praise. Thank him for what he has done for you in your life. Thank him. Thank him. I want you to say, thank you, Jesus, for my life. Thank you for choosing me, even when others gave up on me. Thank you, Lord, for not despising me like men did, and everybody else did, and so on like that. Praise God. And I want to let you know, for those of you that may be doing better than being despised, you know, if you are up in life right now, you better give the glory to God. Because you did not get there by your own strength. But if you are down in life today, I want to tell you that whether somebody rejects you or despises you or whatever, that means nothing before God. God's hand is upon you to select you. And he's going to raise you up. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed in this place. Your mind on the Lord Jesus. I want you to listen to this. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. If that's you today, if you know that the Lord has raised you up to walk to more than you can ever be, I want you to come forward and give the Lord the glory in here this morning. Come forward and let us bow down and worship him. If you know that the Lord has raised you up, you were nothing. You were lost in sin. And he raised you up.
When people say you were nothing and you are good for nothing, He saved you and He put His Spirit upon you. If that is you in here this morning, I want to see you worship the Lord and praise the King for what He has done in your life. Worship Him and praise Him because He raised you up. You raised me up so I can stand on mountains. You raised me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raised me up to more than I can be. Lord, we want to praise and worship your name here this morning. Because you raised us up from that dunghill. You took us, Lord, many of us were nothing. You raised us up. Hallelujah. You lifted us out of the miry clay. You put us on the rock to stay. And you put a song of victory in our mouth to sing. When the enemy said, aha, aha, I have gotten you. The Lord said, I have lifted you. Mercy raised me up. Mercy lifted me. When nothing else could help, mercy lifted me. I saw mercy running to me, and He lifted me out of that dunghill. He lifted me out of everything, the miry clay, and He put His Spirit upon me. I want the church to worship and to bless His name. If you know that God has raised you, if you know that you are undeserving of His glory, but yet He has put His Spirit upon you and He has raised you to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, then I want you to praise His name. I want you to praise His name. I want you to praise His name in here this morning. Oh, the Lord, when He was on the cross, He was thinking about you. He whose glory outshines the sun, He left everything. He went for you. When everybody else said no, He said yes in your life. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Lord, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, so unworthy of such mercy. Because when you were on the cross, we were on your mind. Oh, you know, the Lord, He knows every one of you. And even though He knows your secret dark problems, yet He loves you.
Yes,
hallelujah. Oh, He knew me, yet He loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. I am so unworthy of such mercy. For when you were on the cross, I was on your mind. Oh, He knew me, yet He loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens to shine. Oh, I am so unworthy of such mercy, 'cause when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Lord, we thank You and praise and worship You here this morning, because You chose us instead of just abandoning us in sin and darkness. You chose us. You went for the pearl of great price. You got it too.
And that's the reason we are here today. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Now, hear ye the word of the Lord. Inasmuch as the Lord has chosen you, He has put His name upon you. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And ye shall carry the glory and the name of the Lord. And let no man despise your youth. Let no man despise you even, because the glory of the Lord is upon you. Wherefore, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Let's stand to our feet in here this morning and shout the praise of the Lord. Come on, shout the praise of the Lord in here this morning. Oh, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and let's bless His name. Father, we praise You. We thank You. We honor You, we adore You, we glorify You. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you are here and you have not experienced, you know, this the personal love of God, don't let it pass you by. This time is a time that you must experience His love. He loves you. Never mind what the devil tells you, the Lord loves you. Praise God. The Lord has chosen you. You just need to commit your life to Him, and He'll take it from there. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now the Lord be gracious unto you. Cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord be merciful on you and make the favor of life be your portion every day. The mercy of God be with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only now, but from this time forth and even forevermore. Be upon you, be upon yours, your loved ones, your spouse, your children, your parents, everything that is there unto you. The mercy of God be upon you. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Amen.